Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to say to you yet, a Happy New Year. The New Year's such a fun time, and I hope that you got a chance to stay up and watch the new year come in. It's a lot more fun for us in Minnesota than it was for 10 years that we lived in New York, because if you wanted to see the ball drop in New York, you actually had to stay up until midnight. In Minnesota, being on Central Standard Time, we can watch it come down at 11 o'clock, give each other a kiss, and go to bed. How many of you stayed up until midnight to watch? All right, there's quite a few of you there. That's pretty neat. You know, the new year is also a great time because it's a great time to start over again and to make some New Year's resolutions. Now, a show of hands, how many of you have made New Year's resolutions? All right, about five of us. That's good. Well, I read something funny this week. It was actually, they asked a number of six-year-olds, I guess that would be a kindergarten or first grade class, about what their New Year's resolutions were. And I thought some of these were kind of funny. Here are some of my favorites. Eat more butter. Build a mud hut. Learn to drive. That sounds a little scary. Try my hardest at everything except for math. Make a new language. Eat more cheese. To shower. I don't know about this one. I want to be a giraffe, to play with monster trucks, to make rectangles, to make triangles, and to have two desserts. Those sound like some pretty good New Year's resolutions. And maybe those aren't yours. Maybe you have some more adult resolutions. Maybe your resolutions are a little bit easier, maybe to eat a little healthier or to stop smoking. Hopefully, it's not to be a giraffe, because I just don't think you're going to make that one. But the new year is such a great time to get back on track, right? It's so easy for us in the hustle and bustle of life, and then you add to it the sinfulness that all of us have. It's so easy for us to get off track. And so it's nice to have that new start every once in a while that we can say, it's time to get back on track. And that's what this sermon series is actually entitled, Back on Track, Finding Your Way Back to God and to His Will for Your Life. A lot of those New Year's resolutions that we have are good, right? To eat healthier, to get to the gym, or to stop smoking, those are all good resolutions. But the most important of all is to get back to God and to His will for our life. And so in order to do that, we're going to be looking over the next several weeks at the short four-chapter book of Jonah. And we're going to find, I think, that there's a lot in there that is going to be a good reminder to us of what God's will for our life is and how to get back to that place. So in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it starts out this way. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. We don't know how the word of the Lord came to him, whether it was an audible voice or whether it was a dream or a vision or some other way that God spoke to him, but he spoke to a man named Jonah. Now, what do we know about Jonah? Actually, we don't know a whole lot. We know this. He was the son of a guy named Amittai. He was an actual person that lived on this earth, and he was a prophet during the time of King Jeroboam in the 700s BC. And most of the time, it seems like he was a prophet to the people and the king of Israel. Now, that being said, in verse 2, it says this, the word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Where was Nineveh? Was it in the land of Israel? No, it wasn't. In fact, it was about 500 miles northeast of Israel. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. Nineveh was one of the largest cities of its day. In fact, it was said that it would take you 3 days to walk across the city of Nineveh. There were about 120,000 people in Nineveh, which once again, at that time, was a huge city. And at this time, the Assyrian Empire, of which Nineveh was the capital, was expanding very quickly in every direction. How were they expanding? They were expanding because the Assyrians, the inhabitants of Assyria, were brutal. They were brutal warriors. There were all kinds of stories that were told during the time of their exploits, and they were horrible. When they would go into a city or go into a nation, not only would they take it over and defeat their army, but then there were all kinds of stories of their brutality and how they were harming people, and not only the men, but also the women and the children, with all kinds of torture and cruel ways of doing things. And so this was a greatly feared people. And with the exception of those that actually lived in Assyria, pretty much nobody else in the world liked them, including Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So God is basically saying to Jonah, I want you to go to this place full of cruel, brutal people that nobody likes, and I want you to walk down their streets, and I want you to tell them that the Lord God, the one true God, has noticed your cruelty, and he doesn't like it. In other words, he was supposed to go there and preach the law, a very hard word of law. As Lutherans, we do a lot of talking about law and gospel. There's two messages that God shares with us in his word, and there's also two messages that he wants us then to share with the world as well. The first is the law, like Jonah was supposed to preach. It's basically this: your sin has offended a holy God, and unless you turn from your sin, repent, and turn back to him for forgiveness, God's wrath is going to be on you. That's the message that God was sending Jonah with to Nineveh. Your sin has offended a holy God, and unless you turn back to him, God's wrath is coming on you. But then there's a second message in the Bible, a message of the gospel. It's a message of grace. It's basically this: Jesus, God's Son, paid for all your sins on a cross. Now God offers forgiveness and a fresh start to all through him. That's the message of the gospel, that if you turn back to him in repentance and ask him for forgiveness, because of what the Messiah did 2,000 years ago, there's forgiveness. There's a fresh new start to live your life now for him. The law and the gospel. And those are the two messages that God is always speaking to you and me as well. He's saying, turn from your sin. Whatever your sin is, whatever that thing is that you're doing, or that thing that you should be doing but you're not doing, turn away from that, ask me for forgiveness, and because of my Son, I will always forgive you and give you a fresh start to go and live your life for God now. Can you imagine what Jonah must have been thinking when he heard the words, go to Nineveh? Wait a minute, Lord. I know that I told you that I would be your prophet and I would do whatever you told me to do, but Seriously? Nineveh? Verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed instead for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Like I said, Nineveh and the Assyrian Empire was about 500 miles northeast of Israel. Where was Tarshish? Well, we don't know exactly where Tarshish was. We know that it was in Europe somewhere. It could have been in Greece, maybe. But a lot of scholars today believe that it was all the way on the far coast of Spain. In other words, Jonah was trying to get as far away from God and from what he called him to do as possible, to the tune of 3,000 miles away from where God was calling him to go. Now, Jonah wasn't the first person, and definitely won't be the last, to hear a message from the Lord saying, go, and he said no. In fact, we see this all over the Bible. In Exodus chapter 3, we see it with Moses. God said to Moses through a burning bush, so now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I don't know how to speak very well, Lord. And he had all kinds of excuses of why God should go and pick somebody else. And then Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah says, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. Excuses, excuses. And you know, by nature, we have a lot of excuses, don't we? Of not wanting to do what the Lord has called us to do. Why do you think Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? I think there's maybe a few reasons. Just a quick two here today. I think the first reason is this. He probably was scared to death of these people. And by the way, everyone was. Everyone was scared of the Assyrians. Can you imagine not only going to Assyria, but standing in the middle of their capital city and giving a word of law? That had to be pretty scary. Secondly, and we're going to get back to this in a number of weeks, he knew that if they repented, God, like he always did, would forgive them, and he didn't want that. Can you relate? Can you relate to these things? Because God has certainly told you and me to go as well, right? He didn't just say that to his Old Testament prophets. He says that to every one of us in this New Testament age. In Matthew 28, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. I love the translation. If you look at it in the Greek, I think an even better translation is this. In your goings, in other words, wherever you go, have in mind making disciples so that they will get baptized and then teach them to obey everything that the Bible has said. In all of our goings, whether it's to the store or whether it's down our street or whether it's with our family, wherever we go, have in mind to share the good news of Jesus Christ in your words and in your actions. I learned something this week. There's actually a holiday called Quitter's Day. Anyone heard of Quitter's Day? All right, about the same number of people that made New Year's resolutions. Well, Quitter's Day evidently is a real thing, and it always takes place the second Friday, so that would be next Friday in January. Why do they have a day called Quitter's Day? Because when they looked at it, they realized that up to 80% of people that made New Year's resolutions by the second Friday in January, they'd already quit those New Year's resolutions. And I was thinking about it. One of my New Year's resolutions was to go to the gym at least 3 times a week, and I only got there twice this week. So I need to be celebrating Quitter's Day. But you know what? It's one thing to quit on our New Year's resolutions. It's a whole other thing to quit on God's resolutions for us. And we certainly don't want to be doing that, right? If God tells us to go, then we want to go. If God wants us to share the good news in word and in action with those around us, then we certainly don't want to be like Jonah or Moses or Jeremiah and say no. We want to say, yes, Lord. Do you not want to go to Nineveh, so to speak? Maybe you have a lot of the same reasonings that Jonah did for not wanting to share his faith. Are you scared to share your faith? If so, just like with Jonah, know this, everyone is. Nobody is comfortable with it. I'm not very comfortable with it. Nobody is comfortable in sharing our faith, but the Lord says that this is part of the reason you and I are even here on this earth. A number of years ago, I preached a sermon at my home congregation, and the basic message was, why did God leave us here after we were baptized? If the only reason that we were baptized is to go to heaven, then he would have held us down in that font and drowned us, right? Glub, glub. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. We came up out of the baptismal font, and many of us have lived decades and decades after that. Why? Because God wants us to then multiply ourselves, share the gospel with others so that others can come into a relationship with him. And that is uncomfortable for every one of us. But God knows that. And so God speaks a word of comfort to every one of us. First of all, to Moses. He said, so now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said to him, I will be with you. In other words, when I told you to go, I wasn't telling you to go by yourself. I'm going with you, and I'm going to help you do what I've called you to do. We see the same thing with Jeremiah. Alas, sovereign Lord, he said, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. Once again, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Isn't that a great word? He's not sending us out to do this on our own. He sends people out with him, with the power of his Holy Spirit. And like I said, he says the same thing to us as well. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. As you go forth from this place with an eye on God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me in my actions and in my words to share the good news? And by the way, in a few weeks, we're going to talk more about all the best ways to share our faith. But as you do that, remember this, you're never going by yourself. God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I'm going to be with you as you go and do what I've called you to do. Are you scared to share your faith? Everybody is. But remember this, God is going with you to do that. Here's maybe an even more serious issue. Do you just honestly not care enough about people going to hell to share? Jonah knew that if these people didn't repent, that God's wrath was going to come on them. And if people don't repent and turn to the Lord Jesus for forgiveness, they're in the same boat. The wrath of God will come upon them. And sometimes, and I don't think any of us would ever say this, but deep down, basically, this is what's going on in our hearts. I would rather not be uncomfortable and have people laugh at me and they go to hell. Like I said, I don't think any of us would think that. We would not say those words, but that's really what's going on in our hearts. It's a heart issue, isn't it? It's a heart issue. It's a blackened heart. It's a heart that cares more about me and what people think about me than people going to hell for the rest of eternity because Jesus has not been applied to their sins through faith. If that's the case, if you have that heart issue going on right now, God addresses that as well. In Acts chapter 2, it says, when the people heard this word of law, they were cut to the heart and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you were baptized, many of you decades and decades ago, God washed away all of your sins and he put a deposit inside of you, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. The third person of the triune God is on the inside of you. You and I, we can't change our hearts. If my heart is, I care more about me than if people are going to hell, I can't change that. But this is the reason God gave us the deposit of the Holy Spirit, because he can do what I can't do. As I call upon him and say, Holy Spirit, you live in there next to my heart. Would you change my heart so that I care more about people's eternal destinations than I do about people liking me? And as you begin to pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit is able to do what you and I can't do, and he begins to change the heart from the inside out. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's us, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, since the Spirit is inside of us, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He's saying that if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, as we call out to him and say, Lord, help me to know what you want me to do and change my heart so that it matches the heart of my Heavenly Father. In that way, we are keeping in step with the Spirit. We are walking where he's walking. We're going where he's going. We're saying what he wants us to say. We're being a witness for Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach this gospel to all of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. But whoever does not believe stands condemned. Why? Because when you believe, everything that Jesus did for you gets applied to you. Someone has to pay for your sins and for my sins. When you receive Jesus and are baptized, Jesus pays for your sins. If you don't, then you still have to pay for your sins. And there's a place that people pay for their sins for the rest of eternity that's called hell. And we don't want anyone to go there because God doesn't want anyone to go there. The next verse says this, and these signs will accompany those who believe. And it goes through all of these different things that God's going to do. But then he says, and they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. We had a healing service last night. Why do we have these healing services? Because of verses like this. Why does God do miracles, signs, and wonders? To confirm the message, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And when God said he's going to go with you, he's going to go with you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to confirm his word. You can trust in that. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said to his disciples, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received from God, now freely give. That's the heart of God. I have given to you freely of my Son. Your sins have been washed away, and it had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with what my Son did on a cross 2,000 years ago. You have received freely, and now freely give. Share the message. Look for opportunities to share the message, to invite somebody to church, to love on somebody with the love of Christ. And know that God is going with you. He will confirm that word in lots of different ways. You're not alone. He will transform your heart. When you need it transformed, all you need to do is ask. And in the process, you and I are going to be getting back on track with what God would have us to do in sharing the good news with the world around us in these last days. May God grant it to each and every one of us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.